the revelation of communion. So how we see communion in the book of Revelation, we know that the first Sunday of the month we share communion together. And I really felt like it would be good for us to do this experience, to deepen our experience with communion by looking into this book that we're studying, the book of Revelation. I'm going to look at a few verses throughout our time of the Word, but we're also going to combine Word and the worship again. In a moment, the worship team is going to come again, and we're going to go back into worship, into the Word, into worship and the Word. How many of you are familiar with this? Do I have the picture up there, Francis Chan? How many of you are familiar with this guy? How many of you know who that is? Okay? If you don't know, that's Francis Chan. He's a beautiful follower of Jesus, who also is a beautiful leader in God's church. And on one of his videos that he has put out for people to see, he told about how he was asking people, what is church? Forget what you know about it. What do you know about it from the Bible? It might not be your experience, but just what you read in the Bible. What is church? Just according to what the book says. And he said that he heard four themes constantly repeated in people's answer about what is the church. One is, it's a place where people love each other. They love each other. They love being with each other. They love praying with each other, sharing with each other. They love seeing each other, updating, you know, all of these things that relationship entails. So he said, number one, when you read the Bible and you see the church, you see a place of love. Number two, he said, was a place of communion, a place where people are gathering together around the table of the Lord, around the bread that represents the body of Jesus and the cup that represents the blood of Jesus that were shed for us on the cross, and celebrating God's love for us, being in awe of the price that Jesus paid for our sins so that we don't have to be separated from God in this life or for all eternity by the precious blood of Jesus, and celebrating the love of God, who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever places their trust in him, whoever believes in him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. So he says, I see it as a place of communion that is gathered around the table of the Lord, the bread and the cup, and they're sharing together, and out of that, they're praying for one another, and they're worshiping together. That's number two. He said the third theme that comes up is this theme of communicating the good news, of being so passionate to take the news that Jesus has given to you and sharing it with somebody else. He said, when we read the Bible, we see that the church are a group of people who are in love with one another, sharing that love with each other. They're coming together for communion and have communion around the body and blood of Jesus and through prayer and sharing together. And then they are taking the good news that they have and not keeping it for themselves, but sharing that, finding ways, how do we get this news out to a world that so desperately needs it? And then number four, a place of training, of leadership, so that people could be equipped to do God's work, could be equipped to go out and lead others into the work, into the relationship with God and into the work of God. But I love that second. All four of them are amazing. But for this Sunday, I want to focus on that second one, and that is communion. Coming together around the table of the Lord, the body and blood of Jesus, the bread and the wine that represent for us the body and blood of Jesus. Let's go to the next slide, if we could. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5b, the second half of verse 5 through verse 7. Says this, to him who loves us. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. To him who loves us and has freed us. We are celebrating this weekend the freedom of this nation to worship God. Amen? We're celebrating the freedom of this country. And here it's talking about not a temporary or earthly freedom that is here today, maybe gone tomorrow, But a freedom that is forever, it's permanent, and it's the deepest kind of freedom. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. What did it cost him? It cost him his blood. To him who freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Some because of the judgment coming, some because of their repentance, but all will wail on a part of him, on account of him. Even so, amen. What we have here is a combination in just 2.5 verses, a combination of what Jesus did in the past to give us victory, to conquer the enemies of death and hell and the grave and sin and Satan, to conquer all those things. We have a picture of the past, and then we have a picture of the future. The one who died and rose again is the one who, behold, he is coming with the clouds. Can you say amen? I want to read one more scripture before the worship team comes, but I want to set this up, and then we're going to go back into this verse. Trying to remember exactly what day it was that the Supreme Court handed down this ruling. They call it the Hobby Lobby legislation or Hobby Lobby ruling, whatever. But Hobby Lobby, forget what you hear on the news. If you know the story behind the story, you find out that the Green family are a family who believe in Jesus, and they want everyone in the world to know Jesus. And the Green family have literally given millions of dollars to the kingdom work of the Lord Jesus on this earth. Millions of dollars to Christian universities. Three of our five kids went to two of those universities that family gave millions of dollars to. And when certain laws came down, they didn't want to exclude people from certain contraceptions, except for out of the 20 contraceptive devices, pills, whatever it was, four of them they considered to be abortifacients. They considered them to be something that would create an abortion. And that was against their religious beliefs. So they began day after day to be fined by the United States government up to millions of dollars. And they brought it to court, and it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that you cannot infringe on the rights of the religion of people. And whatever their expression is, whether it is personal or whether it is in the marketplace, in the business world. And the reason why they made that decision is because of the wisdom that God gave people way back when this country was founded, that said this in the First Amendment: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Thank God for them giving us that religious liberty. So that no matter what the government says, we can say we were made free, and we are going to keep our freedom to express our religious beliefs, especially when it comes to life, whether born or unborn. We are going to be able to have no one prohibit us from this free exercise of our religious convictions. And thank God, it was a victory. There have been defeats along the way, but this was a great victory for religious freedom. But the reason why that decision was made is because of this decision made a couple hundred years ago. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Happy Independence Day. But what we learn, and I want us to go to the next slide, is that our independence, I'm sorry, go back to the last slide, I guess it is, that our independence is much deeper than the United States of America. That our independence, in the most ultimate and eternal of expressions, is given to us in this verse from God's word to us in Revelation. To him who loves us and has freed us, has given us independence from our sins by his blood. He has not only given us freedom, but he's given us a nation. He has made us to be a kingdom and priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I don't know how long America will be here on this planet. I don't know how long this republic will go on. I know this, though, that the blood of Jesus made me a part of an eternal kingdom and made me and you to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God and Father day and night. To him be the glory, honor, dominion, and power forever and ever. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand real quick if you would. Worship team, you can come, and as you guys come again, I just think, and I don't want to make you guys uncomfortable, but I just think that having, I know not all of you guys are, we see every Sunday because you're a part of other ministries and things like, and we're excited that that YWAM is here at Embassy Church as well as many other churches around the city. We're excited that you belong to all of us, the whole body of Christ. But for us to have you in our building is one of the greatest honors and greatest privileges that the Lord could ever give a church. And I mean that. To have such pure followers of Jesus and your families living here, bringing worship and praise into this building and discipling other people in this building, including some from Embassy Church, and the influence you've had on us, we could never, never thank you enough. Never. But I will say this, amen, church, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is speaking to the believers in the city of Corinth. And he said to those followers of Jesus, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" I want you to think not only about the bread that Jesus broke, but his understanding that that bread represented his body. That means that when he gave thanks for that bread, he was giving thanks for his own body, which was broken for his followers. For those who would place their trust in him. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" He gave thanks for the bread. He gave thanks for the cup, knowing that the cup would be his blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he said this powerful statement, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In that statement, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that tell us about the Lord's death. But we also have Revelation that tell us about his coming. Do you see that last statement that's italicized there? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So that means that when you are going to eat and drink, when we go to communion, at that moment, we're going to be proclaiming the Lord's death, but also his second coming. We're going to be remembering what Jesus has done for us. But we're also going to be anticipating what Jesus is going to do for us. He didn't just die in the past and rise again. That would be amazing. But he's also coming again. And he's going to come for us. He's not going to leave us here. He's going to come and he's going to get us and bring us to be with his Father. That's the love of God. It's hope for this life, but also hope for eternal life. You're at the table of the Lord. These are just any old tables, but because we're here with Jesus, we're at the table of the Lord. We're here at His table. We're here with Him. And we're here to remember what He's done for us, to never forget, never take lightly. In a moment, I'm going to turn around and just face the cross. I want us in a moment to be facing the cross, looking up to the cross, and having communion together, looking at the cross, remembering Jesus, His love for us, what He's done for us. But you know, we've been singing that He's worthy. You know, Jesus is not afraid of our sins. He knows how to deal with our sins. Jesus is not so intimidated by our sins. He's already died for our sins. What bothers Jesus is when we conceal our sins and when we don't ask for forgiveness of our sins. He's got our sins covered, but He can't do anything about our sin unless we confess our sins before Him. Unless we say, God, I'm sorry. And that's all He's waiting for. If we were to take communion right now and we were holding on to sin in our life, we would be taking communion in an unworthy manner. Jesus is worthy of us repenting, of us saying we're sorry. He's worthy of us not holding on to sins. Whether those sins are the way we think or the way we speak or what it is that we do, He's not worthy of us holding on to those sins. He's not worthy of that. He's only worthy of us confessing. And His blood is so precious and so pure. If it's left to itself if we don't say we need His blood to cover our sins. That's why it's so important for us to forsake our sins, to ask for forgiveness for our sins, because Jesus died for our sins. And when we don't do it, we take away the need for Jesus to go to the cross. And so we need to say Jesus obviously needed to go to the cross. So Lord, we pray right now for every one of us here, God, obviously needed to go to the cross for our sins. So Lord, I say I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, Lord God. Sorry, Lord God, for what I haven't done that I should have and what I have done that I shouldn't have done. And I ask You to cleanse me with Your blood all over again, God. And I ask You to cleanse, Lord God, my heart, my mind, God, my words, my attitudes, God, my actions, my reactions, God. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that You would bring us all to a place of humility where we're not on our high horse thinking we know everything. Help us to trust You, God. Help us to trust that Your word is pure, God, that You know better than us. Help us to trust, Lord Jesus, that You knew You needed to die for our sins. So, Lord, I pray that there would be beautiful repentance all over this place, God, right now, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and feel free just to say to God, you're sorry if you haven't already. If there's anything specific you want to ask God to forgive you for, go ahead and do it.
Fear of man.
Thank you.
Fearing man more than You, God. Amen, Lord. Amen, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord God. Thank You for the repentance going up right now to You, God. Thank You, Lord God, for the repentance going up right now to You, God. Thank You, Lord God, that You said that if we confess our sins, that You are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You, Jesus, that You said that those who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Lord Jesus, Your name means Yahweh saves, the Lord saves. And so, Lord, we know that when we call upon You, we are saved from our sins. So, Lord, thank You, God, that You have saved us from our sins this morning, God, by Your blood. Thank You, Jesus, for Your blood. Thank You, Father, for forgiving us so that we could take this bread and this cup in a worthy manner, not because we're worthy, but because we recognize that You are worthy, that You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. So again, the scripture says on the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He lifted it up and He gave thanks to it. And He gave it to His disciples, His followers, that's you and me. And He said, take this and eat it. For this is my body, which is broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. After that, Jesus took the cup, passed it to his disciples, and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." So, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so in remembrance of me. And in doing so, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Even as our eyes are fixed on the cross, let's go ahead and drink together in Jesus' name.
God, thank you for the benefits of that covenant that you've made with me. That we've been adopted as sons and daughters.
Yes, God.
And that you delighted to adopt us as your children. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer slaves. We're children of God. That we're co-heirs with you, Jesus. That we have an eternal inheritance, God. The promise of eternal life with you, spending eternity with you, Jesus. You've paid the price for healing in our bodies, that by your stripes we are healed. You've nailed every sickness, every infirmity to the cross.
Yes, God.
So I plead the blood of Jesus over anyone's body today who is sick, any disease, any infection, any illness, and I say be gone in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
I speak to the cells in your body and I say work according to the way that you were created. The blood of Jesus over everyone in this room. Thank you, God, for the power of your blood. It never goes away, Jesus.